Indiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
do. We come.
God says in his word, Romans 13:7, that we as Christians must give honor to whom honor is due. In January 2014, we, the ministry staff and co-laborers in the gospel, will honor our man of God, Dr. John Montgomery.
You recognize that if you're going to deal, dwell, or be anywhere God is, you're going to be required to change your life.
In recognition of his 25th year of pastoral service, ministry, and leadership at our church, community, his city, state, and nation, Dr. Montgomery's silver anniversary will be celebrated the entire month of January. This month-long celebration will culminate on Monday, January 24th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Greater King David Baptist Church Multicultural and Educational Center, 222 Blount Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has truly been a blessing to so many near and far. Join us in exhibiting grand love and support for our great and deserving leader. Your words of kindness, fellowship, and gifts of love will be appreciated. No gift is too small, and certainly no gift is too large. We pray multitudinous returns on your gift. Please send all gifts to Dr. John Montgomery, care of Reverend Daniel Smith, 911 Lodell Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Make all checks payable to Dr. John Montgomery. For additional information on exciting events for Dr. Montgomery, phone 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.
We come from this far back.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, your Son, we thank you afresh for the opportunity to hear your word. Now, God, because you knew who would be here today, who would watch by television, hear by cassette, CD, or radio, you prepared this word for every hearer's heart. Now, God, allow the Holy Ghost to meet us where we are, lift us to the place you would have us to be for your glory, our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. We want to look at the father of faith, Abraham's trial of faith. You know, my brothers and sisters, we can learn a lot from Abraham in this 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 14. And because there are so many verses, I will not read all of them, but I do want you to know the word says in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I want to talk about the trial of faith. The trial of faith. I need you to know, if you look in 2 Peter, if you will, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. First thing I want you to know is that faith is precious. It's precious. And we need to see what it has done in Hebrews chapter 11. If you have time, we're not going to go through it now because we don't have the time to, but write down Hebrews 11, 11 chapter, and walk through that, if you will, in your own private study time. The trial of it is more precious than gold, according to 1 Peter 1 and 7. We write that down too. Because here we might notice the first thing about Abraham's faith, and it was in verse 2, the sacrifice of faith. Now remember, his faith is on trial because God says he was going to tempt Abraham. Another word for this word, tempt, because it doesn't mean the tempt as in temptation, as within something sinful or evil, but it literally means to test him or to try him. It's one thing to have faith in theory. It's another thing to have faith in reality. A whole lot of you think you got more faith than you actually have. And the only way you're going to really know that you have the faith you think you have is if it's been tried. The only real faith that you can depend on is faith you have stood on. And when you know what God has brought you through, you ain't got no doubt. When you go to the next situation, if he brought you out of this, he can take you out of whatever you're going through. And so these are some things I want you to write down, because there are seven areas of faith that Abraham is tried in. The first is sacrificial. He has sacrificial faith, the faith of sacrifice. Notice what the word says in verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou what? Lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. First of all, when he said thy only son, he's talking about the only loved son, simply meant his all. He was the son of promise. Excuse me. And after knowing that this boy, Isaac, was the son of promise, he made a sacrifice, because actually, as the son of promise, he was the one who was going to be the continuation of Abraham's seed that God promised him, that he'd have so many children, they would be like the stars of the earth and the sands of the seashores. And so if he kills Isaac, then how is he going to bring this to pass? So now, because of his disobedience, knowing the story that he and Sarah took the handmaid Hagar and came up with a child named Ishmael, he was the firstborn son, but he was not the son of promise. And so God didn't say, take your firstborn son Ishmael. He says, take the one that I promised you and Sarah, Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him on a mountain I'm going to tell you of. So the first thing you know about Abraham's faith is in this trial that it's sacrificial faith. So notice this, because this is important. Now I want you to notice something else. The next thing about his faith is, and that's important because it's on trial, is his faith of obedience, or the test of obedience of his faith. Notice here what the word says, if you look in verse 3. And the word says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, notice again, God speaks to him in verse 2 that evening. He does not comment. He does not make any kind of opposition to what God has said. He simply gets up, and he gets up early in the morning. He is obedient in his faith. He's believing God, so he gets up early. One of the reasons why early he's made clear here is that that's to suggest in his obedience there was no delaying, certainly there was no denying. And he discovered that if God said it, it didn't matter what he thought, what he felt, he had to do it. So his obedience was to rise early in the morning and get started with a thing you have to know he did not want to do, because this was his son of promise, the one whom he loved. Word says, and the Bible says, he rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now I want you to notice this. Now God told him to do this. He's doing that. He's obedient to God, and because he loves God, he's moving swiftly. I tell you, love of God will make you move swiftly, even when you don't understand it, even when it doesn't feel good, even when it hurts, because you know God is faithful, God is love. You move in obedience, even though it don't make no sense to you. But when you know God and the voice of God, you move based on that, and you obey him by faith. Listen again. I want you to see something else. Verse 4 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, verse 5 is going to reveal another area here. And this is important because this is what's called a trial of expectation of faith. So not only does he have obedience of faith and sacrifice of faith, but the record is in verse 5, an expectation of faith. Look at what the word says. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now look at this, because this is an expectation of Abraham. Abraham is telling the two young men, you take the donkeys here and you wait down at the bottom of the mountain. Now Abraham knew that he was going up the mountain to do what? To sacrifice his son Isaac. But he tells the young men waiting at the bottom of the mountain, you wait right here. And me and the boy, we're going up to worship him. And we are coming back together. Let me tell you what you don't do. You don't bring your sacrifice and sacrifice it to God and then bring it back home with you. You leave it there. So listen at this. He has an expectation of faith that goes beyond the natural comprehension and ability of how God's going to work it out. I can tell you, he don't have no idea how God's going to work it out, but he spoke that thing by faith. Listen at this. If the boys weren't listening, God was. I said, if the boys weren't listening, God was. You could have seen in heaven how he hunts Jesus. Check him out. Look at Abraham. Look at Abraham. So Abraham leaves them there, and with an expectation of faith. Remember, his faith is on trial now. God is trying him. And God is pleased so far with the fact that he's sacrificing by faith, he's obedient to faith, and thirdly now he's expecting by faith. But I need you to know the trial don't stop right there. Let's move a little further, because after he has an expectation of faith, I've got to tell you, you've got to do something for that faith to come to pass. Now look at this word, because I want you to see. Verse 6 says, and conjunction tying together, verse 5. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now he's talking about the work of faith. You see, the work of faith is to actually go forth and to progress in the thing God told you to do, to process through what God told you to do. He's still doing, even though he has an expectation of coming down the mountain and meeting them back together, both of them, he still got to go up both of them and do what the Lord told both of them to do. Now, he told
Abraham that that is what he had to do. Isaac, his son, is carrying the wood. That's the burden, as they call it, on his shoulder. Now, I want you to see something. Now, that's the work of faith. He laid the burden, the wood, on the offering, which was Isaac. Listen at this. And that he did was important to what follows next. Look at what verse 7 says. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. I love the way they talk. Notice how both of them owned each other and spoke to each other endearingly. Look at what he says. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now I want you to see this, because you've got to realize that verse 7 helps us to understand how powerful verse 8 is. Verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That's dealing with the assurance of faith. Now look at this. Little Isaac is inquisitive. He has either seen his father in sacrificial ceremonies, he has witnessed, or he knew the procedure. He recognizes that something is missing. To know, God, we got all of the tools and we've got all of the things necessary to do a sacrifice. But where is the sacrifice we gonna do? Now listen, the flesh would have said, son, you're the sacrifice. But notice this, Abraham never said that his son was going to be that sacrifice. He says, God, the Lord. Now notice here, because Abraham is saying what Isaac said. And Isaac prophetically is saying what God has said. Now I want you to go back and again see this word, verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Say lamb.
Lamb.
Lamb for a burnt offering. Now there is a grave difference between the two animals that are represented in this story. The lamb and what is used in scripture for Isaac's sacrifice is a ram. We'll see it in scripture. But here's what you need to know, that the ram, and I'm just going to fast forward you so we can come back with an understanding. The ram that's caught in the thicket was for Isaac in a temporary situation. But the lamb that Isaac prophesied was for the entire world that God was getting together and putting in position for whosoever. It wasn't time for the lamb, so that's why God used the ram. Are y'all hearing me? Isaac said, where is the lamb?
Jesus.
And his father Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb, but what he's gonna do for you is provide a ram. Y'all will catch that on the roof. He's gonna provide himself a lamb, but you're gonna see he's got something else in reserve for you. So listen again at the assurance of faith, because this is so important. God will provide. See, we can stop right there and close it out on God. Because I got news for you. Can't nobody do what the Lord can do like the Lord can do when he gets ready to do. The Lord will provide himself. Don't you think you can provide a sacrifice worthy of what God needed to take care of the sins of the world? God had to provide that for him. That's why he had to use the express image of himself in the person of Jesus Christ. I love that assurance of faith, brothers and sisters. But I got news for you. The assurance of faith didn't come till after the work of faith. And the work of faith didn't come till after the expectation of faith. And the expectation of faith didn't come till after the obedience of faith. And the obedience of faith didn't come till after the sacrifice. Are y'all with me here? Well, let's move on to the next one. I want you to see verse 9. And verse 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the what?
Wood.
Listen. Let's go to verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Now let's back on up to 10 if you don't mind. Because again, verse 9, look at what verse 9 says. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. I want you to see the persistence of faith. See this now. Because after he has the assurance of faith, he perseveres with what God says. I don't know how he's going to work it out. And this is a helpful holy hint. You need to stop wasting your time trying to figure out how God is going to work a thing out. Believe that he's going to do it and leave the details to him. He ain't got to tell you every point and every stop and every start. He don't have to tell you every turn and every twist and every curve. He ain't got to tell you the time, the hour, or the day he's going to do it. All you got to do by faith is believe that God is going to do what he said and operate in faith. Listen at this. It's persistence of faith.
My Lord.
He said, we're coming down together. But he's still going through what God told him to do. He don't know how they're going to come down together. He just knows they're going to come down together. But he still has to be obedient to what God, I'm trying to tell you now, he's the father of faith. So you need to look at him and listen to him and observe how he operates, because here are helpful holy hints as to how you can get issues in your life worked out and move to new dimensions and new areas and new arenas in your life by operating in these principles of faith. This man is persistent to do what God says do, while at the same time assured that what he has said is going to happen. Now, how it's going to work out, that's God's business. All he has to do is do his part, and God's going to do his part. Now, look at this persistence again. Go back to verse 9. And they came to the place. They came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. You know, some of us would have been saying, now listen, you know, because there's a thin line between faith and foolishness. I said there's a thin line between faith. There's also a thin line between love and hate, but that's another story. I'm not going to go there right now. But let me share this with you. You see, foolishness would have been to try and say you have faith that God's not going to take Isaac on the altar. So since I have my faith believed that God's not going to do it, I'm not going to even go to the mountain. I ain't even going up no mountain. I ain't making no altar. I ain't putting my son on no altar. I ain't lighting no fire under no altar. I ain't taking no knife and kit. Are y'all with me here? That's not faith. That's foolishness. Faith is doing everything God said do, and believing that when you get through, he's still going to work a miracle and give back to you what you believed him for. See, what you got to see is Abraham did his part. Say, Abraham did his part. Now, what you got to realize is God is not going to honor your faith if you don't do your part. I'm talking to myself. Now I ain't talking to you. No, y'all ain't trying to hear me, so I'm talking to myself. God's not going to honor my faith until I do my part. So that means, listen, if I honor God's word and do my part, then I have every right to the expectation that God's going to honor my faith, because my faith was in connection with his word, his will, and his way. So if I be persistent, if I am persistent, if I follow through with what God says, even though I don't understand how it's going to work out, even though this has no sense, no reality, no reason, no rhyme, I'm going to obey God because I know God is faithful. Here's what Abraham was thinking, no doubt, going up there. How is this going to be the son of promise and you are ordering me to kill him? I don't know how you're going to do it, but I do know you're going to do it because you are faithful. And even though I'm messed up, you're going to straighten up and you're going to do what you said you're going to do anyhow. Because listen at this, if God wasn't going to step in 14 years later, some commentators say, when Abraham had and Sarah had Isaac after Ishmael, God could have left it alone and just let Ishmael be the one. But he wasn't the one. And so God honors what he says, even though he has diametrically done opposite of what God promises. So God, because he cannot lie, he said, you and Sarah are going to have a child. He didn't say you wouldn't have another with somebody else. That was your mess. He said, but you, I said, and Sarah are going to have the child of promise. So you know what I thought? I was thinking, I would say, well, you know what? God's going to make my heart hurt a little bit because I was disobedient. So he'll let me sacrifice my son. But I would have been thinking he's going to resurrect him right after I get through doing whatever. Now, I don't know how he's going to work it out. But what I do know is it ain't going to be another Isaac. It's going to be that Isaac that he's going to bring Jacob through.
Yeah.
So this boy had to come back down.
Yes.
But he doesn't know how God's going to do it. But he is persistent.
Yes.
I got to tell somebody. I got to encourage somebody and tell them, be persistent. Touch your neighbor and say, be persistent in your faith. Touch another neighbor and tell them, be persistent in your faith. Well, touch yourself and say, be persistent in your faith, my faith. Listen, because that's why we're to walk by faith and not by
sight.
Somebody say, if you walk by sight, you see too much. You got to walk by faith. God, you got to walk by faith. Keep walking. So let me tell you what the power of God can do. And it's already in scripture. God can open the door. He can trap the door like the walls did. Or he can let you walk through the door. So don't worry about the door or the blockage that the enemy has put in front of you. You're not walking by sight. You ain't got what you should have because you're not persistent. God, you promised me you were going to bless this new business, but you ain't been working the business like you ought to work the business. He didn't say he was going to drop it in your lap. There are some things you got to do before his promise comes to pass, but you got to be persistent and keep walking in what he's promised you. You're dealing with, brothers and sisters, where you may have speed bumps, blocked doors, and blocked passages. You need to realize that stuff can't last. It came to pass. Your persistence is going to see you through everything and through everybody who tried to hinder you. I got to tell you, sometimes when you're trying to get a breakthrough, you got to leave some people at the bottom. Listen. What God has for you and 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 me may not come unless we are persistent. you to see something else, and I'm going to go and close this thing, and I'll shout by myself.